Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire every Sunday night. This same time, 8:05 Central on Sirius XM Radio, Family Talk Channel 131. Last week we were talking about false teachers, just what is a false teacher. We read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, which is one of a number of passages which mentions that term, false teachers. It reads, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in condemnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." What is a false teacher? Well, it's anybody that teaches something false religiously. The attitude that seems to permeate our religious culture is, "I'm okay, you're okay." That it doesn't really matter what you teach or what you believe, that everything is right. 2 + 2 can equal 4 and 5 at the same time. They're both right. That philosophy is held by most believers, most preachers. But the Bible teaches that there is such a thing as a false teacher. And when it does that, that means the philosophy, "I'm okay, you're okay," in religion is just not true. If somebody teaches something different than what the Bible says, that's not okay. It's wrong. It makes a person a false teacher. Last week we gave some illustration, some examples of false teachers. The first one we talked about is someone who teaches that gay marriage is okay. Let me announce the number to call at this point. The lines are wide open. If you want to call in, ask a Bible question, make a Bible comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Again, the lines are wide open. You can get in right now if you want to call. 877-655-6755. Regarding gay marriage and homosexuality, last week we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. That's not the only passage we could have read to condemn homosexuality, but it is a good one. It reads this way from the New King James Version. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." So any preacher that doesn't unequivocally condemn all forms of homosexuality should be made to resign. He's a false teacher. What about the preacher where you go to church? Does he say absolutely homosexuality is wrong, it's a sin, and everybody who doesn't repent of it is going to be lost? If not, he should not be preaching the gospel. He's a false teacher. What about the truth on divorce and remarriage? Anybody who doesn't teach the truth on divorce and remarriage is a false teacher. Let me read again Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. I think we may have read this last week, maybe the week before. It says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." Now Jesus makes it clear in this passage that the only scriptural cause for divorce is adultery. And not only does he say that, he says if you get a divorce for any other reason and you remarry, that second marriage is adulterous. And the person that marries the put-away person, that marriage is adulterous also, he says in the last part of the verse. So, we're talking about false teachers. I conclude that any preacher who teaches it's okay for divorced people to remarry, or who performs wedding ceremonies for divorced people, is compromising the gospel. What about where you go to church? Does the man who preaches where you go to church perform wedding ceremonies for those who are going to be in their second or third marriages? Do they teach that it's okay for divorced people to remarry? Now, I'm not talking about the one exception here. That hardly any of the divorces in the United States today are for that one exception. Most of them are for incompatibility or some such reason. Is the preacher where you go to church standing for the truth on this and saying those second marriages are adulterous marriages and they need to be gotten out of? Well, along those lines, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 11, we read, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, that passage shows that people gave up being adulterers when they became Christians. They didn't continue to be adulterers. It says, "Such were some of you," past tense. So they quit being adulterers when they became Christians. Now, suppose their adultery was a result of them being in an unscriptural marriage. This verse would mean they got out of or terminated that adulterous marriage. So, if a preacher says that a person who's in his second or third marriage and he didn't have a scriptural divorce to begin with, if he's in his second or third marriage, it's an adulterous marriage, if he says he can stay in that marriage, he doesn't have to terminate that marriage, that preacher is a false teacher. False teachers should not be allowed to preach from the pulpits. We need to have the gospel preached in its truth and simplicity from our pulpits, today and every day. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. You know, a preacher who says people can be saved even if they don't believe in Christ is a false teacher. Well, you ask, what preacher teaches that, that you don't have to believe in Christ to be saved? How about Billy Graham? In an interview with Robert Schuller on May 31st, 1997, Mr. Graham said, and I quote, this is Billy Graham, this is what he said, I quote, "Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved and they're going to be with us in heaven." In McCall's magazine, January 1978, Mr. Graham said this, and I quote, "I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost. We're going to H-E-L-L. If they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. I believe there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God. Through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God." So we have two quotes that clearly show that Billy Graham taught that a person could be saved, a sinner, could be saved even if he never believed in Christ. He says there are other ways to recognize the existence of God. There are other ways of saying yes to God. But here's what the Bible has to say about that question. The question being, can a person be saved if he never believes in Christ? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him of them that diligently seek him." And so without faith in God, it's impossible to please God. And then John 8:24, Jesus speaking said, "I said unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." The Bible says the same thing, the same idea in different words dozens of times. You have to believe in Christ to be saved. Billy Graham says you don't have to. People can come from the Muslim and Buddhist world and be saved. But the Bible says that you do. That means that Billy Graham was a false teacher. As much as we might like Billy Graham, or as much as you might like him, as much as you may have appreciated Billy Graham, he taught false doctrine, something different than the Bible here, and that makes him a false teacher. False teachers don't need to be preaching from our pulpits. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Any Bible question or comment is welcome. 877-655-6755. Let's talk about some other examples of people who would be false teachers. And by false teacher, we simply mean somebody who teaches something religiously, that's false. If they do, that makes them a false teacher. Remember John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's talking about being made free from sin. And so if a person believes, teaches, or practices something different than the gospel, the truth, he won't be made free from sin. A lot of people say that Billy Graham is wrong, that you do have to believe in Christ to be saved, but they say you don't have to obey God to be saved. Even though they might sing the song, Trust and Obey, they really don't believe it, because the Bible teaches what that song teaches. You have to trust and obey. If a preacher teaches that you don't have to obey Christ, that all you have to do is believe, all you have to do is accept Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have to obey, that makes him a false teacher. Let me prove to you from the Bible that obedience is required for salvation, not just belief, but obedience also. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says this, Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So our souls are not purified, made clean, forgiven, until we obey the truth. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, And being made perfect, he, talking about Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So the only people, according to this verse, who are going to receive eternal salvation are those that obey Christ. Matthew 7, 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You see, we have to do the will of the Father in order to go to heaven. So these and dozens of other passages in the Bible prove that a person not only must believe in Christ, he must obey Christ. So if a preacher says you don't have to believe, or if a preacher says you do have to believe but you don't have to obey and you'll still be saved, that makes him a false teacher. False teacher. False teachers are not only going to be lost themselves, but if we allow them to lead us astray, we're going to be lost too. Matthew 15, verse 14 makes that clear. Jesus said there, Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So it's not just the false teacher that's going to be lost. This says the follower of the blind teacher will also fall into the ditch, will also be lost. Both will fall into the ditch. The false teacher and those of us who allow a false teacher to lead us astray. That's why we have to be like the Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. See, even though Paul the apostle was preaching, these people were highly complimented because they didn't just accept what he said blindly. Instead, they checked the scriptures to make sure what Paul was preaching was so. So when you hear me preaching or any other preacher preach, you make sure that we can put our finger on a book, chapter, and verse to prove what we're saying. To prove what we're saying. Else, don't accept it. Don't accept it. If you do, you're just going to be a blind follower of a false teacher. Don't do that. False teachers will cause us to be lost. Myron from Canada, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, just a quick question. If I understand you correctly, what you're saying is that anybody who doesn't believe in Jesus won't go to heaven. Is that correct?
Right.
So there will be nobody in heaven who hasn't believed in Jesus, correct?
Yes, we read that verse that Jesus, where Jesus said, Except you believe in that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. In John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Go ahead, Myron.
Okay, so my question for you is then, you stated that anybody that's never received Jesus or hasn't believed in Jesus won't be in heaven. Then I just have a question. How do you deal with all the Old Testament saints who never accepted Jesus?
Oh, because they did not live under the same covenant we live under. They didn't have to believe in Jesus to be saved, in the sense we're talking about. If you take a look at Hebrews 9, 15 through 17, it talks about the new covenant coming into effect. It did not go into effect until after the death of the testator, which is Jesus in this case. And so you're right, Abraham, Moses, and Adam, they didn't have to believe in Christ because that wasn't in their law. They lived under a different law than we live under today.
So how
does that answer your question, Myron?
So how did they get saved? Was it by keeping the law, being obedient, or was it through faith?
It was both. They had to have faith and keep God's law.
Yeah, that's my point. It was through faith in God based on the law that he had revealed to them. So by faith, it's the same way to God in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah, but said, of course, they had some different commandments than we had. Like, for example, they had to do animal sacrifices. That was one of the conditions they had to meet in order to be forgiven for their sins. You can read that all the way throughout Leviticus 4 and 5, that they weren't forgiven for these particular sins until they made these animal sacrifices. We don't have to do animal sacrifices today. But, on the other hand, for example, we have to be baptized to be forgiven for our sins. They didn't have to be baptized. That wasn't a command in the Old Testament. Let me prove that. I just don't make assertions without proving them. I like to give a verse that proves conclusively what I'm saying. Here's one that says that. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." So, just as I said a while ago, you have to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. So those preachers who teach that all you have to do is believe, all you have to do is have faith, all you have to do is accept Christ as your personal Savior and you'll be saved, they're false teachers, because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. The song, "Trust and Obey," is right. Here's another passage. Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So this passage teaches that you have to repent and be baptized. It gives two commands that we have to obey in order to receive the remission or the forgiveness of sins. If we don't repent, or if we're not baptized, according to this verse, we won't receive the remission of sins. As a matter of fact, it gives us the reason we have to be baptized. We have to be baptized for the remission of sins. So a person who thought they were saved before they were baptized, thought they had the remission of sins before they were baptized, then if they were baptized later, they would not have been baptized for the remission of sins, so they never would have gotten the remission of sins. Because this verse requires that we be baptized for the remission of sins in order to get the remission of sins. So Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, both of those passages show that it's trust and obey. You have to believe, you have to repent, you have to be baptized to be saved. Acts 22:16 also shows you have to be baptized to be saved. Now, Saul believed in Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. But at least 3 days later, he was still in his sins, according to Acts 22:16. So Saul was not saved when he believed. He believed on the road to Damascus. At least 3 days later, Ananias told him to do something to get his sins washed away. So this theory that you're saved when you believe, saved at the point of faith, that faith is all you need, is not true. Ananias told Saul 3 days after he believed, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And so you got to be baptized to get your sins washed away. Billy from North Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, just talking to the gentleman you were talking to before, he was asking how the old saints got saved. Of course, they didn't grow up under believing on Jesus Christ, but as they died, the blood of sacrifices sustained them. And then the Bible says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so was the Son of Man in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He went down and preached to those that was in captivity in paradise. And moved paradise from the heart of the earth and took it to heaven. So Moses and that King David said, "Lord, how long will you leave me in hell?" So they all, the 3 days and three nights Christ was went to the heart of the earth, that's when they all accepted him as their Savior, and he moved paradise from the heart of the earth and moved it to heaven. So now when you die, you get to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. So he was asking that question, so I thought I would tell him what I knew about that. So,
thank you for your call, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir.
We're showing that according to the Bible, you have to trust and obey to be saved. We're going to go to Kyle in Texas. Kyle, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, I've got a question. First of all, according to Scripture, you're spot on with everything you've spoken of. And I just turned you on 10 minutes ago. So I believe you're speaking the truth. But here's my question. In Genesis, God spoke about how it was a plural in heaven. It wasn't just him, you know. And in John 1, God spoke about, I wish I had my Bible and I could just go straight to the Scripture, how the Word became God and the Word was with God. And then you go back to Genesis and it talks about how the earth was created, and that I believe the Son of Man was with God from the beginning of time. And also, if you go back to the New Testament, Jesus is talking to what they said was Moses or Abraham. I can't remember which one. The apostles looked up and saw Jesus talking to Moses or Abraham. I can't remember which one. And they feared who it was. You know, should I set a tent up for one for you and one for, I believe it was Moses. So my question to you, and I feel like there's enough biblical evidence to support the fact that Abraham and Moses and a lot of these other people actually did get to know Christ. Maybe not on earth, but, I mean, my question is, do you feel like there is enough biblical evidence? As, you know, when God created heavens and earth, I believe Jesus was as a side, and he was there helping him create the heavens and earth. You know, God spoke the world into existence, and I believe Christ was with God from the very beginning. I don't know if that's biblically truthful, but with my readings of the Bible, I think there is evidence to support that. So I don't know. You know, it's a great opportunity for me to ask someone of knowledge with your radio show.
Well, you're right about the plural. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." So Jesus Christ was there. You quoted John 1, verse 3. John 1 verse 1 very well, Kyle. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In verse 14 identifies the Word as Jesus Christ. So he was there, but they didn't have to believe on Christ like we do. For example, Kyle, do you remember Romans 10:9-10 requires us to believe in the resurrection of Christ? It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, people back then couldn't have believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead, past tense, because it hadn't happened yet. So
right.
You see, they were under a different law. They weren't required to believe that. That's a New Testament law commandment. Jesus has been raised now, and we must believe that he's been raised from the dead in order to be saved. Verse 9. You follow my reasoning, Kyle?
Absolutely, 100%.
Appreciate your call, Kyle.
Thank you.
One other verse that proves that we got to be baptized to be saved is 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure wherein even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that verse says, boiling it down, baptism doth also now save us. Anybody who teaches you don't have to be baptized to be saved is a false teacher. Notice this verse, 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, we don't have God. We can't be saved. This is, if we're teaching something outside the doctrine of Christ, that makes us a false teacher. If you want to talk about this further, send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. If you want to be put on my mailing list for my Doctrine Matters email message once a week, BibleCrossfire@email.com. Send me an email.